What a chapter. I'm glad it's... I'm only the vessel that he is speaking through. We're going to read the first two... Well, first off, this chapter is speaking to Israel. We know they're on in the plains of Moab. Moses is preparing them to cross Jordan. We know Moses won't go because he's a type of the law, and the law does not go. But this chapter is speaking to Israel as a nation. Last week in chapter 27, where we read the curses, they said, "Cursed is he." That spoke to individuals. Tonight, in chapter 28, the Lord speaking through Moses. Moses is just a vessel. He is speaking through to talk to this nation as a nation on the plains of Moab. In verses 1 to 14 of this chapter, we're going to read the blessings that would result to Israel as a result of their obedience to God's word. God knew that they couldn't keep them. He knew they couldn't keep them from the time that he gave them. But they said that we would do all that you say. And he's going to prove to them, no, you can't. The old creation does not have the ability of keeping the law. But this, which we will see with Israel tonight, will come to pass. And they are a new creation. After the Lord has taken them through that great tribulation, that 3.5 years, and 2/3 of that nation will be destroyed. At that point in time, they will acknowledge who he truly is, and they will be a new creation. This is what we're going to look at tonight. The results of obedience, and again, the old creation does not have the ability to obey. Only the new creation. Let's look at Romans 8 and the 7th verse. The old creation is the old creation. Romans, the 8th chapter, and we're going to begin with the 5th verse. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal or the natural mind, which is the old creation mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The old creation is hostile to obeying God's word. Now God is going to test, we're going to see in the 28th chapter that God is going to test this nation, just the same way as he tests each one of us. Are we going to walk with him, walk in the Spirit? Or are we going to walk in the old creation, pleasing ourselves? We know the old creation will not obey because it doesn't have the ability any more than Israel did in keeping the law. But the new creation will obey because obedience is in its nature. Let's look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5, and I want to read one verse. And that's the 16th verse. Paul, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the new creation life, and you will not fulfill the lust of the old creation. Paul learned this. We read this in chapter 7 of Romans. Paul learned this the hard way. He learned so therefore he can admonish us. Walk in the Spirit. I have a note here. This walk means our round of daily activities. Everything we do is to be in the Spirit. Nothing in the old creation. Now, in verses 15 to 68 of this 28th chapter, and you'll notice that's nearly four times as many verses as what we read in verses 1 to 14. There's 54 verses that declare the curses for their disobedience. Now, this chapter 28, what Moses spoke to this nation, it's a nation of Israel, was for us. Every last word he told them was the Holy Spirit inspired. God had him say it to this nation for us. And let's look at 1 Corinthians 10. That nation of Israel went through a lot for us. we have much to thank them for. 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Now, I would like to begin the chapter, Deuteronomy 28. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. We want to notice, first off, this word if. We read it in verse 1. We read it in verse 2. It poses a condition. Has anyone ever said this to you? Well, if you'll do this, then I will do this. We hear that all the time. I remember it as a child. Mom says, okay, if you do this, then I'll do this. It was a condition. If I did my part, then she'd do her part. That's exactly what Moses is telling this nation, Israel. If you keep all the commandments of the Lord, then God will keep his part. It's a stipulation or a condition. We live in conditions like this all the time. As a child, we tell them, well, you have to obey me before I will do that. That's a condition. God was speaking to this nation because he wanted that this nation to be his. They were his. He wanted them to obey him, just as we want our children to obey us. But they had to be instructed. He chose this nation. Let's look at Deuteronomy 7. He didn't have to. He was sovereign in what he did. Deuteronomy 7, and we'll read, we'll begin with verse 6. Again, speaking to this nation Israel, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, not to anybody else, but to himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He promised Abraham, and he was going, that promise made to Abraham was all God's doing. Abraham was asleep when God made this covenant with Abraham. He was going to keep that oath with Abraham. Now, obedience, and this is what we see here. This is what God wants, is obedience. Obedience is first and foremost with God. He expected this from Israel, as he expects it from each one of us. He expects obedience. We know back in Genesis 3:6 that disobedience brought in sin and it brought in death. Let's look at Ezekiel 18 and the 4th verse. Disobedience. Eve allowed herself to be beguiled, and I thank the Lord she allowed herself to be beguiled, because that was in God's plan. Ezekiel 18 and the 4th verse. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth and disobedience is sin. Unbelief is sin. It shall die. Now, in this first verse back in chapter 28, it says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day. The word hearken here, it means to hear intelligently, to pay attention to obey. We want to note that there is no limit to the hearkening, to the obeying, or the paying attention. There's no limit to it. It had to be a continual hearkening. He didn't say for how long, if thou shalt hearken for 40 years. He said, if thou shalt hearken diligently. That meant from now until the end. Obedience, that's all he wants. This word observe, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. We want to consider the voice of the Lord thy God. In Psalms 29, the voice of God, if you'll read Psalms 29, the voice of God is pretty powerful. That's the voice that they were to listen to. This word to observe, it means to hedge about, that is to guard, to protect, attend to. They were to protect, they were to observe everything that the Lord told them by way of Moses, okay? Paul is our apostle. Do we attend to everything he has told us? He's our spokesman as Moses was Israel's spokesman. Do we observe and do what Paul tells us? This word do, it means to obey or perform the laws of God. This was very, very important to God. He expected obedience. We also want to note in this first verse, it says to observe and to do a few of his commandments, all his commandments. This word all here means the whole or the entire. This nation Israel could not pick and choose the ones that were convenient to obey. Oh yeah, I can obey that one, but I can't obey that one. James 2:10 says, if you offend in one, you've broken the whole law. So either you had to keep them all or none at all. Now in this chapter of Deuteronomy 28, Israel is an old creation. We see them as a natural nation. They think as the natural does. God is testing them. Will they obey me? Will they do what I want them to do? He knew they couldn't. We stated this earlier. They could not. In Exodus 19, when they said, all that we say, all that you say, we will do. He knew they couldn't. Because the old creation can't. I'm thankful in the new creation that law of God is fulfilled in us and not by us. We live in the new creation. We walk in the new creation. And it just happens because that life, his life that lives within us, brings it to pass. Let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8, and I would like to begin with the second verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, remember where the law came from, it came from God. It was holy, just and good, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. It's performed or it's executed in us, not by us. Obedience here is, it can't be stressed enough, obedience to the Lord. And it's not in the old creation, because he does not see the old creation. The old creation has been put 6 foot under, and we're to leave him there. It says in this first verse, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high. If you obey me, to observe and to do all the commandments, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, or all the Gentiles of the earth. Remember, there's only two kinds of people. There's Jews and Gentiles. If they were able to keep everything that he told them, he would set them on high. He would set them above every nation in this world. This word high set thee on high. High means supreme, elevated above all the Gentile nations of the earth. Let's turn to Zechariah 14. We'll see when they will be set on high. Zechariah 14. This will be when Israel is a new creation, and they will be the head of all the nations. And also they will be identified with this one king, Jesus Christ. Zechariah 14, and I would like to read the 16th verse. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Israel here will be a new creation. Now, as we also in the Spirit can be set on high. Let's turn to Ephesians 2. We've been seated there, but do we take our place there? It is only as we take our place in death, burial, and resurrection. When Jesus arose, we arose with him. And when he sat down, we sat down. We've been enthroned in the heavenlies, right on the very right hand of God. There's nothing higher than that. We can be set on high. We can be identified with our bridegroom by faith. And one day, very, very soon, it'll be in reality. Let's look at verse 2 in chapter 28. And all the blessings. Now these blessings, they imply a bountiful gift, which implies prosperity. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if, notice that word, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. There had to be obedience to the voice of God. Obedience. A lot of people think that's a dirty word. That and work. Let's look at verse 3. Now these are going to be the blessings that will come on Israel as a new creation. These are future. In verse 3, now this is a gift. This is what God plans to give this nation Israel as a new creation. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed be thy basket and thy store. This is a kneading trough here. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be. And yes, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Okay, verses 3 to 6 speak of the future blessings that Israel will be blessed with as a new creation. It also speaks of the blessings that those that actually walk in this new creation or walk in the Spirit, that they're blessed with. When we walk in the Spirit, verses 3 to 6 is what we're blessed with too. He has blessed us. Think of it. Here, we're all a new creation here tonight. How has he blessed us? He has blessed us with a roof over our head. How blessed we are, whether we're in the city or whether we're in the country. This is in the new creation. Verse 5, blessed shall be thy basket and thy kneading trough. As a new creation, the Lord blesses us with daily sustenance. As long as we love him preeminently, he provides our every need. Let's look at Philippians 4:19. So many limit God, but he's got the resources of the universe. Philippians 4 and the 19th verse. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When we walk in the Spirit, he blesses us because we are walking obediently to him. Therefore, he supplies our needs. I like this sixth verse. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. This comest in and goest out. This is a phrase describing the general course of life and action, their activities from day to day. When Israel is a new creation, Jesus will be the center of their lives. As we walk in the Spirit as a new creation, isn't He the center of our lives? Our whole life, our whole round of activities every day revolves around Him. He is our life, and He also blesses us in our comings in and our goings out. Let's look at Psalm 37. Now this is to those that take their place on the right hand of God, that walk in the Spirit as a new creation. This does not apply to anyone that walks in the old creation. Psalm 37 in the 23rd verse. The steps of a good man, and this good man is the new creation, are ordered or established by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Every step, as we walk in the Spirit and we walk by faith, He directs our every step. I think of Abraham, when the Lord told Abraham, okay, you leave the Ur of the Chaldees, you step out in faith. Abraham didn't know where he was going, but yet he trusted God. He said, okay, I'll take the first step. Then he took the other step. And what did it lead him to? It led him to where God wanted him to be. Do we allow the Lord to help us to just take that step of faith? Lord, I don't know what this is going to result in, but if you want me to do it, here I go. In you. Let's look at Psalms 121. Psalms 121, and I'd like to read verses 7 and 8. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Then we read in verse 7 in Deuteronomy 28. The Lord, again, this is Moses speaking to this nation, who is still in the natural, still an old creation. They do not have any ability of their own. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Now these enemies, thine enemies, speak of adversaries or foes. Those who are hostile towards you. And that speaks of all the Gentile nations from 606 BC unto the present. Every nation has been hostile or has been Israel's enemy. They'll be smitten or they'll be defeated. This is when Israel will be, again, this is all when Israel, all of these blessings will occur when Israel is a new creation. Keep this in mind. This isn't going to happen before they're a new creation. Let's look at Joel. Their enemies will be defeated. This word smitten means defeated. Let's look at Joel, the third chapter. One of those minor prophets after Daniel. Joel 3. I would like to read the second verse, and then we'll skip down to the ninth verse. I will also gather all nations, and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. In verse 9, proclaim this among the Gentiles, the hostile nations. Prepare war, wake up the mighty men, let all the men of war draw near, let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Assemble yourselves and come all ye heathen and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the wine, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope or the refuge of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. The Lord is going to fight for that nation. Let's look at Zechariah 14 and the first three verses. Zechariah 14, beginning with the first verse. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. This one way, these enemies, they shall come out against thee one way. These enemies, this speaks that they will come in one way. They will be united. They will be unified. They will be as one army that will come against Israel. But notice, they'll flee before thee seven ways. This has the thought that the enemies will flee. They're going to try to escape. They'll no longer be unified or united. They're going to flee every which way because they met the Lord. Let's look back in Amos 9. Amos 9, and I would like to read the first verse. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Now, as we walk in the Spirit, as we walk in the new creation, do we have adversaries? We have a very real adversary, and that is Satan. Let's look at Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, in the 12th verse, there are principalities and powers that are against us. Let's read the 12th verse, Ephesians 6, and the 12th verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How are they defeated? We read of the armor in this chapter. We put on, in verse 11 it says, put on the whole armor, the offensive and defensive armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks or the craft of deception of the devil. Satan's already been defeated at the cross. Let's turn to Colossians 2. Satan has been defeated, and he's going to be done away with, and he knows when the bridal company is taken out that his time is growing shorter and shorter. Colossians 2, let's read beginning with verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus defeated Satan at the cross, hands down. Let's look at Hebrews 2. And this is who fights for us. Jesus, when we walk in the Spirit, he fights for us. Hebrews 2, and I would like to begin with the 12th verse. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy or annul him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He was defeated. He has no power over the new creation. I always liked what Brother Hill said, in the mountains you can get to a point where you're above snake country. Well, if we take our place in the heavens, we're far above snake country. Verse 8, The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in the storehouses, and all that thou settest thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord here will appoint or decree his blessing upon Israel as a new creation, that their barns would be full, and that they would prosper in the, that they, everything they set their hand to would prosper as they lived in that land. This is what God is going to bring about in this land of Israel. Let's turn back to Joel 3. These are his people, and he will be so delighted when they are a new creation. Joel 3, and we'll begin with the 17th verse. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountain shall drop down new wine, and the hill shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and water, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Now, as we walk in the new creation, we're blessed this way too. The Lord blesses us as we honor him. Let's look at Proverbs 3. We'll begin with the 5th verse, Proverbs 3 and the 5th verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And only the new creation can do this. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Again, Brother Hill used to say, you shovel into God's storehouse, he'll shovel into yours, but his shovel's bigger. Let's look at verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee. Notice this word again. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. Let's turn back to Exodus 19. This was God's desire to have this people as his own. Exodus 19, and I would like to begin with the 3rd verse. And Moses went unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now God called this nation. He delivered them out of Egypt. He redeemed them. He wanted them to be his peculiar treasure, his property. He didn't want them to belong to anybody else. He wanted them for himself. It's all his doing. It says in this 9th verse, the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself. This establish here, it means to arise, to stand firm and upright. This is what God wanted. He wanted them to stand up and be his. To arise, to stand firm and upright. Now this could be done if they obeyed him. But as we said, they're in the natural here. They don't have the ability, but it will happen when they are a new creation. They will be brought to the place of obedience to him, and they will be a new creation. And it's going to be as a result of his doing. They won't have anything to do with it. It's going to be all his doing. He's going to chastise that nation. Let's look at Zechariah 13. This has already been foreordained, and it's going to come to pass. Zechariah 13 and the 8th verse. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire or the tribulation, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. Right now, they're not paying any attention to it. But this point in time, they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. They will recognize Jesus for who he truly is. It's all going to be his doing, though. Just as we walk with him, as Glenn brought out on Sunday, we each have to stay on that wheel. We have to let him move the wheel with his foot, and we just sit there and let him form us. It's all him. We don't have a thing to do but just yield. Let him apply the water and make his son. Now, to us as a new creation, let's turn to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9, this is what he wants us. He wants each one of us. But ye are a select or a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He, Jesus, is the head of the new creation. Therefore, as we take our place in death, burial, and resurrection, and we take our place where we've been enthroned, we too, he was the first fruit of the new creation. If we went up with him, we're a new creation too. A peculiar people, or in other words, his property. We're his. The world shouldn't have anything to do with his property. Because as we are his property, his life is going to be reflected through us. We walk in the Spirit, allow that new creation life to live every minute of the day. Whose life's going to be seen? His life. In verse 10, in Deuteronomy 28, and all people of the earth shall see. I like that. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. This word afraid here means that they will revere you. Revere thee. Yes. This word called here, it means to bear the name of God. They are set apart for him. They will be accounted worldwide, you might say, as the people of Jehovah. There'll be a new creation. There won't be any of this desire to push them off into the sea, because they're going to be Jehovah's people, the God of the universe, his people. Again, let's go to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62, I would like to begin with the first verse. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be merry. Let's look at Jeremiah 14:9, and Beulah means married. Jeremiah 14. Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Let's look at Zephaniah 3:20. And Zephaniah 20 here, it said, I have a note when we studied Zephaniah that Israel will become, here in verse 20, what God intended. Zephaniah 3:20. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gathered you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Let's look at verse 11 of Deuteronomy 28. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. This word plenteous, it means to jut over or exceed, to excel. This is what this nation is. It's, they're going to be so plenteous. Things in that nation that the Lord is going to give and bless this nation with as a new creation will be so plenteous. They're going to excel all over everywhere. They're going to exceed. The Lord is going to cause Israel as a new creation to increase in every area of their life. Not just simply to bless, but he's going to make them abundant. Let's look at Amos 9. Amos 9, and we're going to read, begin with verse 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Now, as a new creation, does he prosper us? Let's look at Ephesians 3. And it's as, again, a new creation. It's not walking in the flesh, in the old creation. Because the Lord does not acknowledge that, that the old creation exists. Because he put it to death. As far as he's concerned, it's gone. In Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, this is our promise. Paul, he wrote this down for us, and it's something that it's tangible. We can claim it. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, age after age. Amen. This is who we're dealing with. This is our head that we're dealing with. Let's look at verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. We'll stop right there. This treasure, his good treasure, this is his depository, his storehouse, or his treasury. Now let's look at Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26, and I would like to begin with the third verse. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rains in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. Now let's go back to Joel 2. Joel 2 will begin with the 21st verse. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rains, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. Israel will truly be blessed by God when they're a new creation. Now, we each here are a new creation. As we walk in the Spirit, we too, He provides for our needs. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, and you might put your finger in 2 Corinthians. We'll be coming back to 2 Corinthians 9. But I would like to begin with the 8th verse right now. And this is to those that walk in the Spirit, live in the new creation life. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things. Think of that. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency. Why should anybody complain? In all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he, speaking of God, that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. I was noticing this as we thank Him. It says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. When we begin to thank Him, that's what He wants. He wants us, what He provides for us in the new creation, we're to be content with. He'll provide more. He's never going to leave us without. Let's turn back and look at the rest of that verse. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. This lend here means to be joined, to be connected together. Israel will be made bountiful, and she will have the ability to lend to the nations. As a new creation, the Lord is going to bless her so greatly that she's going to be able to lend to all the nations. And what? And not borrow. The Lord's going to provide for her. Now, when there is a need, do we lend? We should. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9. Yes. As a new creation, when there's a life that is in need, a saint that's in need, if the Lord has blessed us, are we to hold back? No. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to he, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity,